green lights here. Got that on. It's good to be with you folks. Appreciate what the Lord did in Sunday school. Looking forward to what the Lord's going to do in this morning service. Trust you come looking for the Lord.
Amen.
That does make the difference. Mm-hmm. Amen. I want you to turn with me tonight or this morning over. Let's go to the book of 1 Kings. Chapter 18. Trust and asking God to let us be a blessing. I appreciate this opportunity. And I trust that you pray for us. Tell you, God has been good to us. And for that, I am grateful. And he just keeps getting better and better and better. First Kings chapter number 18. We begin reading verse number 41. Though I like to hear them pages still turning in the. You don't hear that noise if they're reading a computer. Amen. I ain't against that. I got it on my little iPad. I got it on a little iPod that I listen to when I'm walking. Sometimes I'm riding on an airplane. But I still like to hear them pages turn in that Bible. Amen. And you know, now this is just this not part of the sermon, but it's just something. I mean, and I'll read my Bible with that iPad, or I'll read it, you know, got Scorby reading along where I won't butcher the words so bad. But I'll be honest with you, it's a blessing to then just get that Bible and go back and go to reading through it and just taking your time. God just show you things. And I appreciate that. And I'm not against the other at all, because I do it. I just don't want to bring one in the pulpit. And I mean, that's just me. I'm not going to fuss at anybody else that does. But anyhow. But in verse number 41, the Bible said in verse chapter 18, it said, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again seven times." And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." And he said, "Go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." It came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and winds. There was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for this time. And thank you, Heavenly Father, God, for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I pray now that, God, that you'd touch this service, and God, that you'd manifest yourself. Lord, I pray, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, would you just do what we can't do. Our Father, God, there's people in here. You know them better than I do. You know their problems. You know what's going on in their life. Father, you know that one here that's not saved. Pray, God, that you would just take care of all that even this day. Lord, answer some prayers today. Give some real victories. God, we do want to stop and pray just for a little bit. God, now before we preach, God, do send the rain. God, they need some rain here, and pray, God, you'd send it. Our Father, let these folks know, Lord, how much you love them, more than they could even imagine. Father, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to take my thought this morning and out of verse number 43, where he said unto his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up and he looked and said, there is nothing. And if I could this morning, I'd like to preach on this thought, what to do when there is nothing. We find in this story, we know the story, how Elijah, God, had came and dealt with Elijah and told him to go deal with the king, wicked king Ahab, probably the most wicked king that ever was, wickedest queen that ever was, Jezebel. You don't hear too many kids named Ahab, and you don't hear too many women named Jezebel. Amen. And we found out, you know what they did? They brought in Baal. You know what the religion of Baal was? Was actually a religion of convenience. Do you know this society we live in, you know what they really want? They want a religion of convenience. Kind of like a drive-through service. Amen. Drive up, get. I seen a thing on the news the other day down in Houston now. They got drive-up prayers. Amen. You pull up to this church and the guy walks out and you give him so much money and he prays for you. I seen it on TV the other day. I thought, really? Man, I need to try that one. I'm just carrying on, amen. Amen. But anyhow, I thought, good night, boy. These folks, amen. And God did not like that. God had an order. Did you know this morning the Lord still got an order? Amen. But anyhow, we find how that Israel's heart had turned away from God, and Elijah thought that he was the only prophet, the only one left serving the true and living God. And in this story here, if you read the whole chapter 18, you find out that God challenged them, and Elijah challenged them, and by the time he was all done, God had come and showed them people he was God, and they chopped 400 preachers' heads off. Amen. And false preachers had chopped their heads off, and then the next thing you know, amen, we'd have more heads than that off nowadays, amen, if we chopped all the false preachers off in America, amen. Probably have more than that if you chopped them all off in Texas and New Mexico. Amen. But anyhow, amen, God had told him, remember Elijah went to Ahab and said, it ain't going to rain for 3 years. It ain't going to rain, the God says. To my word, God's going to give me the word, and then it'll rain. And the Lord turned the water fountain off. And the Bible said it didn't rain for 3.5 years. That's a pretty good drought. And anyhow, what I'm trying to tell you this morning, it had been a long, dry spell. And God, amen, said that And then in verse number 18, he said, and it came pass after many days, in verse number 1, that the Lord, the word of the Lord, came unto Elijah in the third year, saying, go up, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. But yet, in the great victory, there still wasn't no rain. And Elijah goes up. Now, I want to just say this to you. You think there's nothing? You know what nothing is? Not anything. That's deep, ain't it? Not any being in our existence. Nothing. We got this victory, but there's still no rain. Where's the rain? When there is nothing. So what did he do? He told this young preacher boy, he said, you better get up there, Elijah, Ahab. He said, God's fixed to send the rain. And they went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and God said, amen. He told him, he got down on his knees, and he got down, put his face between his knees, and he got in earnest prayer, and he told that boy, you're going up to the top, see if you see anything. And he come back, and he said, there's nothing. And if the Lord help me, what to do when there's nothing? Verse 43, there's the answer. He said again, go again 7 times. So you know what to do when you don't know what? Amen. When there's nothing, just keep looking. Just because you go to God in prayer one time and nothing happens, don't mean, amen, that you need to give up. Don't mean you need to quit. Just keep looking. Keep going back to the well. Keep saying, God, I ain't taking no for an answer. I need an answer. Think about a friend of mine told me the other day, called me. He was just rejoicing. His uncle was a devout Catholic, wouldn't have nothing to do with him after he got saved. He'd try to talk to him about God, and the old man had run him off and told him he never wanted to see him again and just banned him for ever even coming around him. But you know what that boy did? He loved his uncle. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed. 32 years. Now here this old fella is, 90-something years old. I think 92, might have been 94. And boy, his aunt is said to him, said, you need to go see your uncle. He said, he told me not to ever, he didn't want to see me ever again. I've been just praying. She said, yeah, you just need to go on up there. His mama come to him. Finally, the Lord told him, said, you need to go up there. And boy, he got to praying, and he was praying, and he said, Lord, I want you to do something. And he walked in there, and all of a sudden, as he stepped in, he said there was a curtain closed, and he said, and all of a sudden, he said he heard a voice, and said that voice come from behind that curtain and said, John, you ever thought about being born again? And old brother, that preacher friend of mine said he just froze in the door. Said that old uncle of his said, well, he said, I got a little old nephew tried to tell me about being born again 30-something years ago, and I run him off. But I'm 94 years old, or amen. And he said, I'm fixing to meet my maker, and I'm not right, and I'm not ready to die. And he said, I'm found out that everything my nephew told me was, amen, true. Now I'm here at the end of my life, and I don't have no peace with God, and I'm going to die without God. And anyhow, this old voice, all of a sudden, he began to quote John chapter 3, and he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he can't. And boy, that old man began to tell him how to get born again. And then all of a sudden, that old man and then old brother Cuddy stuck his head, and he said, well, here's my nephew that hadn't seen me, and I hadn't seen him run him off. But to make a long story short, you know what happened? That old man got saved by the grace of God, amen. 30 some odd years he'd been praying, seeking God, asking God to save him. Amen. Didn't have no communication. First time in over 30 years. But you just got to keep looking. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, I'm saying to you, I thought about that Syrophoenician woman. You remember her? She come to the Lord, and that Bible said her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. And the disciples, amen, she had a problem with the devil, but she had a problem with the disciples. They wanted to get rid of her. They went to the Lord and said, Lord, you got to do something. Get rid of her. She's driving us nuts. Put her out of here. We're tired of listening to all her problems. And if it ain't good enough, she went and told the Lord. She said, Lord, I got a problem. You know what he said? He said, it's not meat for me to give the children's bread to dogs. I'd say it'd be pretty bad when the Lord called you a dog. Amen. But you know what she did? She didn't get mad. She didn't get ugly and say, who you think you're talking to? She agreed with him. She said, yes, Lord, you're right. But I'm not leaving, amen. I got a problem. I don't need a loaf. I just need a crumb. And said, if I can just get a little crumb, that'll fix my problem. And before you know it, amen, that daughter had been grievously vexed for the devil. God reached down and touched her because she just kept looking. Amen. A lot of people, I think. I mean, he told them, said, go seven times. Go seven times. You remember Naaman the leper? I mean, the preacher didn't even come out and see him. That little maid said, we got a man of God down there. Said, if he goes sees him, I guarantee you he'll heal him of his leprosy. But you know what? Amen. He didn't even come out and see him. He didn't even give him time of the day. He just sent his preacher boy out there and said, go tell him to jump in the river. Amen. Boy, can you imagine some big general of an army coming up, pulling up in front of your house? And the preacher's not even going to go out there. You know what old Naaman did? He went away mad. He was in a rage. And boy, he said, are not the rivers of Samaria better? And amen, of Syria better? And all this old nasty Jordan River, amen. Who's that guy think he is? Don't he know who I am? Boy, he was leaving there. He was mad. He said, I ain't going to do it. I'll just stay a leper. And finally, one of them men went to him and said, some of them men said, hey, if he'd have bid thee some hard thing, if he'd have told you to shoot an apple off one of his head to 100 feet, you could have probably done that. But he said, just told you to go jump in the river seven times. And I can see old Naaman, he goes down there and he did one time and there wasn't nothing. Well, this is a bunch. I done made a fool out of myself. But I can see some of them men say, yes, sir, general. But said, you know what? Said he didn't tell you to just dip once. You got six more dips. Amen. You done tried everything else. That didn't work. How about trying this? Amen. You're already in, so don't quit now. You're too far in to back up. So you know what he did? He dipped the second time. He dipped the third time. And that's what a lot of people think. They think they can start doing that and they just, no. You got to obey God. You got to do just what the Lord said. And he just stayed at it. And when he come up and went down that seventh time and he come back up, everybody, when he got up out of that water, I bet you them eyeballs was that big around looking as that skin was clean. Now all that leprosy's gone. And I mean, he's got skin like a newborn baby on him. And I'm telling you, praise God, it changed him. But you know how he did that? He just kept looking. He just kept obeying God. He just kept his mind focused. He said, you know what? Some of y'all got some problems. You might have some troubles. Don't quit. When you just pray one time, just stay with it till God gives the answer. Stay till you pray through. Stay till you get the victory. Stay till you know God has done it. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Brother Fox remembered, told me about, wanted me to talk about when I got sick. And some of y'all remember this 5 years ago, just last week, I come out of that coma. I'd been in there 21 days. And I remember Brother Green, Brother Brother Green, amen. He's my mother's, he's my wife's son-in-law. I don't claim him most of the time, amen. But anyhow, he had come to ask, amen, if he could marry my daughter, and I got sick and all that jazz. But that's the last thing I remember. That's probably what helped make me go into the coma, amen. But anyhow, I'd come in from a meeting, and he was sitting there on the fire at the fireplace, and I remember him handing me some Gatorade or something. That's the last thing I remember. 21 days I was in that coma. I don't know, he might have poisoned me, I don't know. But anyhow, I remember letting my wife listen to her talk about it. They got me down there and they told her, said he's probably too far gone. Said if y'all had got him in here a couple of days ago, said we might have could have saved him, but said he's gone to die. And boy, then they got to trying to talk to her about donating my old body. I said, boy, they must be hard up if they want this old wore out body to work on. Amen. And then they wanted to try these experimental drugs and said, well, it's probably going to kill him, but just think what it's going to do for three or four generations to come. And she said, I ain't worried about them three or four generations to come. I'm worried about him. And you know what? She finally told him she was signing papers, and she said, will you just let me go out here and walk and pray a little while? And they said, well, you got an hour or so, we can do that. And so she just went out there and began to walk and pray. And finally, you know what? She said she made about the fourth lap around there and said all of a sudden, said the Lord come spoke to her heart and said, trust me. He's in my hands now. It's up to what I do. Everything's going to be all right. Just trust me. And she walked back in there and she said, I'm not going to sign all this other stuff. Said, keep him on life support. Said, all I know is God spoke to me and I believe God and I'm going to trust him. Amen. I don't know when he's going to come out of it. But he's going to come out of it. Amen. They told her, You know, best we can promise is vegetative state the rest of his life. Said just being in a bed, never preach again. The life that he's had up to now, I'll never do that again. The life y'all have enjoyed together, never do that again. Amen. Ain't much help there, is it? Ain't much hope. My sister-in-law walked up and said, was standing there by her, and she told him, I said, I thought you loved me, amen. I said, you must don't love me. I said, I'm glad you don't hate me, amen. She said, oh, you just need to let him take him right now and just let him die, amen. Said, he wouldn't want to live that way, and you don't want to live that way neither. But then my wife said, I got a word from God. She said, I'm going to trust the Lord. The Lord told me to trust him. Everything's all right. Amen. And she just kept praying. She just kept looking. Amen. She went down one time. She went back. She went back again. And I mean, there was a lot of hours. There was heart attacks in between there. There was blood clots that turned loose, went through my heart and my lungs. I was supposed to be a goner. And they won't even let me get it. They told me, you need to get disability and all that. I tried to get it. They said, you're too healthy. I ain't got no scarred heart. I ain't got no, from the heart attacks, no damage. From the blood clot that went through my heart, my lungs, no damage. Amen. They just checked me out here about a month ago. They said, this is crazy. No damage. You cannot believe that you're as sick as you are and there's not no kind of problem. Amen. But I'm just trying to say, when there is nothing, you just keep looking. See, that speaks of fretting not. It's easy sometimes for God's people to fret over things when we don't get it when we think we ought to get it. Am I making any sense this morning? Amen. Yeah. Amen. Talking about, amen, God's time is the right time. Anything else is wrong. Psalm 37:1 said, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You just keep looking. Amen. Hannah was not going to take no for an answer. She went into the Lord's house and she went in there. She was very specific with her praying. She didn't want just a baby. She wanted a man child, and she didn't quit till God gave it to her. Amen. Would to God that God's people one more time would get fervent in their prayer life. A lot of times when people say, when a doctor says to a family it's time to pray, you'll hear them say, oh, it's come to that. It ought to have been to that before you ever got to the doctor.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What to do when there's nothing you see? Told him, just keep looking. Then number two, you know what to do? When there's nothing, just keep listening. Amen. The answer's coming, but you got to just keep listening. Amen. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. He could hear it. Just got to keep looking. Got to keep listening. The answer's on the way. You remember the angel told Daniel? Said, we heard you the first day. The Lord heard you the first day, but said, I've been battling 21 days against Prince Persia. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Hey, you just keep listening. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't back up. Don't thank the Lord. Don't believe the lie of the devil that said the Lord don't care. He cares more for you than you could ever imagine. Keep listening. Means to hearken. To give ear, to attend. Just keep listening. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord and with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There was a promise. You just keep listening. God ever gave you a promise? Just keep listening. It's on the way. The answer's on the way. The victory's coming. Amen. Just believe God. And I'm telling you, God's going to do for you sometime more than you can ever imagine. My boy Gary come home from a mission field about a year ago, maybe a little longer. Been there 17 years, and yesterday he was out. And he stopped by this old hardware store, and he visited these people. I think that lady's 84, and the old fella's 84, 85. Anyhow, he kind of been going through a few storms, and that little lady come running out and said, God, said, son, God told me, said, to come tell you something. And her husband come running out there and said, we was just praying. God spoke to us and said, told us to tell you, just hang in there. The answer's on the way. Amen. Some things he'd been praying about. Gary said, I hadn't even really told him a whole lot what was even praying about. And he said, but God, he said, it blowed my mind. Here this old man, old woman is, old saints of God, just lived and been faithful right there. Parents had donated land to a church right there. They wasn't trying to be nothing. They were just glad to be saved, just servants of the Lord, just serving God. And old Gary went by there just to check on, get a part from that hardware store, and he got more than that part from that hardware store. Boy, he told me, he said, Daddy, when I left there, he said, I'm telling you, God nudged my heart and told me, he said, see, I told you I'm interested in you. Amen. You just got to keep listening.
The answer's on the way.
And there's been things I've prayed for, things that I knew God spoke to me about. Sometime it may not come when you want it, but it's going to come. Amen. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Thought about the promises of God. And I thought about how God is. Remember one time we just started out in evangelism. This year's my 25th year into evangelism. We just hadn't been on the road very long. And the Lord spoke to me about going a different way. And I said, Lord, that's 400 miles out of the way. And I said, this don't make no sense. And I said, man, it's got to be the devil. Lord said, I ain't the devil. And I said, Lord, this don't make no sense. But I went ahead and I said, I'm going to do it because this is what you said to do. And I'm telling you, I got to a place and all of a sudden that old big bus broke down. And it rolled, and I rolled this thing in there, and this old boy got out of there, and a blind mechanic working on big diesel rigs. This guy's blind. He crawls up in on that old motor, that old bus, and I fire that thing up, and he said, all right, you can turn it off. I know what's the matter. They hooked about a 150-foot air hose to that thing. And I drove it over there, pulled it over to that shop. He went to tearing that thing apart and tearing parts, throwing things in the weeds. And I wasn't going to crawl out there among him rattlesnakes and get it. I said, oh, Lord, what in the world? And the Lord said, trust me. I prayed and I said, God, what in the world are you doing here? What are we doing here? And all of a sudden that old boy said, you know, he said, what do you do? I said, I'm a preacher. He said, He said, you know, about 2 weeks ago, he said, my wife's dying of pancreatic cancer or whatever. I'm blind and can't see it. My heart's just so heavy. I just bowed my head and asked God if he'd send a preacher by. And I'm thinking, really? 2 weeks ago? That's about when the Lord started talking about me to go by there. That old boy got right. And we get in there and he says, go on, go to bed. So I got several hours of work. About 4 o'clock in the morning, he's beating on the windshield of the bus. And I go up front. He said, you need to come in the office. Said, my boss is here. And said, her father-in-law just passed away, and she's looking for a preacher, and I told her there's one out there in that bus. She said, well, go get him. I need to talk to him. And I went in there and dealt with him and her husband. And that old man that had passed away said, my father-in-law was a good man, and I don't want to attend his funeral, not right. I need to get right with God. Make a long story short, the Lord, see, he spoke to me. He told me, he said, you just got to keep looking. You got to keep listening. And I went that way. That afternoon, they'd worked on that bus about 15 hours. And that old boy went in there and he told her, he said, when I went in there to square up with a bill, he said, well, he said, all my labor's free. He said, I needed a preacher and God sent me a preacher by here and said, I'm going to take it. He said, I'll donate my labor. She said, well, I can't have you doing that if I'm not going to donate all the parts. And they had a couple $1,000 worth of parts. I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, what in the world is going on? And the Lord said, I told you I'd take care of you. I'm talking about when there's nothing. You just keep looking and you just keep listening. Are you listening to me? And I walked out of there, and God said, listen to me. Listen to me. I will do what I told you that I said I would do. Listen to me. I will make a way for you. I'm talking about when there's nothing. You just keep listening. I've watched God over the years. My boy wasn't right with God and got out of church, my youngest boy. I watched God through all that sickness, all that adversity. He's the youth choir director in our church tonight. We got a youth choir about 60 or 70. God's been so good to us. But you just got to keep listening. You just got to keep listening. But you know what you got to do last of all, and I'm through. What to do, amen, when there's nothing. Just keep living. Just keep living for God. Don't blame nobody else. He said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. The rain's coming. Before you know it, he heard the thunder and he heard the lightning. He saw the rain. Old Adonai Judson was a great missionary. Burma, they locked him up. And he's bound in his chains. And cellmate said, how's your prospects of winning these heathen now, Reverend? He said, well, they're just as bright as the promises of God. I mean, you just keep living. He never promised us that it's going to be an easy road. He never promised you that it was going to be once you got saved, that it was just going to be a cakewalk and you'd never be problem free. Hey, listen, when you get saved, the devil's mad and he's going to attack you with everything he can attack you with to try to destroy your life and upset your life. But you just keep living for God. Just make your mind up. You know what? I'm going to live for God. I'm going to please the Lord. Amen. Just because God delays don't mean that God denies. Amen. You listen to me? About the time you give up is when the victory comes. Amen. Man, I've seen sicknesses. I seen a little girl up in Delaware fought that cancer about a few years, probably about 2 years back now. They called me and it looked like it was over. And Brother Farley called me, my pastor, and said, where are you at? And I told him, he said, He said, are you driving or flying? I said, I drove to this meeting. He said, how far are you from their place? I said, about 8 hours. He said, I might need you to call and move your meetings and ask these guys and just push your meetings back a month or so and said, just go up there because if she dies, said, that family loves you and said, I want you and your wife to just go up there and spend a month with them. Just help them. I said, yes, sir. I remember that dad, boy, his heart was broken. That mother's heart was broken. They went in there and they said, Lord, if you won't take her, that's all right, but we'd like to have her. 22 years old, just precious. Got this bad, bad cancer and all her functions, all her organs had shut down. And old Brother Manorese, he told me, said, I got in there that night and said, me and my boy were just sitting in there, our brother was sitting in there. And said, all of a sudden, I said, Lord, would you please, I'm going to ask you one more time, would you do something? Said, these doctors said it's over. And he said, there was an unusual, he said, the presence of God got surreal in that room. He said, one of them nurses walked in and said she told Brother Manor Ray, he said, I'm going to go back outside. Something real holy's in this room right now. And you know what? God touched that little girl in last week on Thursday night. She graduated from college and walked across, and that Jewish doctor and all them doctors been working on her stood there. That Jewish doctor was in Florida on vacation. She found out that girl was graduation. She said, I am coming to that. I am not missing that. I can turn around and go back to Florida. But you just keep living. They just kept on living. Her with that cancer, she just kept on singing. I'd watch her in meeting. She'd just push herself. She said, I'm going to live for God. She said, if I leave. I remember she told me one time, she said, Brother Luttrell, she said, pray for my mom and daddy. She said, I'm okay if the Lord takes me home. She said, I'm all right if I don't never have children, if I don't never get married. I'm okay with that. She said, but I just won't. I want you to pray for mom and daddy that they won't get bitter on the Lord. I'm going to keep living. But I'm going to tell you what, I watched all that and I thought, man, what a blessing. How about you this morning as our piano player comes? Some of y'all, I got a feeling from Sunday school and even now, I got a feeling there's been some people going through some storms around here, troubles around here. Some of y'all might be ready to give up. Some of you might already give up. It ain't time to give up. Just bring it to the Lord. Casting all your care upon Him, the Bible said, for He cares for you. And I wonder this morning, as our brother comes, plays, maybe you just need to come talk to the Lord this morning. Let's stand together.